Everyone has a Bible with them, I hope, right? Who comes to a Bible study without a Bible? That's like going to... All I can think of is a football game without a jersey. Or without a number one finger. Okay, try to find a Bible. There's Bibles in the pews. Make yourselves useful here, kiddo. We want to share something together. So basically, the New Year's theme this year, I'm sure you're all enjoying it very much, okay? And if you're enjoying the New Year's theme as much as I am, you've probably been scared to death for the past several days. That's been like the common thing that, you know, after New Year's, like if you ask people, what do we talk about on New Year's, what do we talk about on New Year's? Hell, everyone says hell. No one would say about heaven, even though, I mean, my notes, 50% of it was heaven, 50% was hell, but no one can remember one thing I said about heaven. Anyone? Yeah, what? I didn't say that. I didn't say that, but thank you very much. Okay, so all of us have been thinking about hell. And there's two ways that you've been maybe taking it. Is maybe you're scared, okay, or maybe you're not scared. And if you're not scared, it may be because you're not really taking it, like, I don't want to say not taking it seriously, but what I felt like with me is I hadn't had a chance. Like, I want to encourage everyone, okay, in case you had busy time around New Year's and Christmas and stuff like that, just sometimes we don't get a chance to, okay? And I was telling Abuna this, as like sometimes I feel like I give a Bible study, and then as soon as I finish it, I give a sermon, and then I give a light in life, and then I give it this, and then it's New Year's, and then it's Christmas, and I'm saying all this stuff, and then confessions, and I'm advising, and I'm giving all this stuff. And I sometimes look and say, number one, I don't remember what I said. Number two, I'm pretty sure I'm not doing the majority of what I said, because I don't remember what I said to even be doing it in the first place. So what it takes sometimes, and for me that was Monday, okay, where I started to think about the stuff that we spoke about, and I started to make this New Year's theme a little bit personal and try to apply it to myself a little bit. And for the first time, really, even though I preached this stuff, it made sense to me a little bit on Monday when I had a chance to take some time with my Bible. And Monday's quiet time, who remembers what Monday's quiet time was? Hebrews chapter 4. Okay, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. It's a very, very nice passage. And I'm just going to share what I was reading, and you guys can, hopefully everyone can contribute as well if they benefited something that was beneficial. It wasn't beneficial. So here's the impetus or the starting point of my quiet time. Sunday night, a group of the coordinators was at Boone and Sony's house, and Sony Greeny said one sentence, which is very nice. Okay? So many sentences, very nice, but the one that I remember the most. People were talking about hell and saying fear and scared and all that kind of stuff. And she said, it starts with fear, but it shouldn't end with fear. Something along those lines. Okay? Ends with love. Okay, very good. Ends with love. Okay? It starts with fear, meaning that oftentimes the impetus of us getting us back on track is fear of hell. But it shouldn't. That shouldn't be the long term. But sometimes it is the starting point. Hebrews chapter 4, the quiet time is just from verse 14 to 16. But I want to just read the chapter just quickly, just so we can understand, because it kind of sets up the rest of it. So it says, first of all, if you have little titles in your Bible, okay, Hebrews chapter 4 is all about what? There's a word that's repeated like six times in Hebrews 4. What's the main message of Hebrews 4? Rest. Okay? Watch how many times you see the word rest repeated. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested in the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remained that someone must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. I know it's kind of a confusing passage. That's why if you don't have a Bible, you're probably not going to understand it, because it's very difficult. That's why I hope you can bring your Bibles with you. In this passage, the key word that I said over and over was rest. Okay? So, starts with fear, but hopefully ends with rest. I started with fear, and a lot of us start with fear about, like, you know, we talked about hell and a scary picture, and we're going to get judged and all this kind of stuff. So we're fear, but the goal is that we end with rest. This is the transition we want to make here from fear to rest. Number one, verse one, says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. That's what Sosoni said. Okay? So that's confirming exactly. Is it bad to fear? No. What it's saying right here is that many people don't enter the rest, so therefore you have to take it serious, and there may be an element of fear. So fearing hell is bad? No, it's not bad. It's a starting point. And hopefully it's not the ending point, okay, but it is a very valid starting point, and what St. Paul is saying here is you have to have that fear because we're talking about serious stuff. Like St. Paul, you know, maybe he saw the video as well or something like that, so it's serious stuff, and I don't want anyone to fall short. So we have to take it serious. For indeed the gospel, verse 2, was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So here he says, the key element that stopped those people from getting to rest was what? Abuna got it. What is it? Lack of faith, right? I haven't said anything. I'm just reading the Bible so far. Okay, in verse 2. So the key element somewhere from fear to rest is faith. And because they didn't have faith, and we'll see faith later in what? Well, actually, it says right there, you know, for we who believed do enter that rest in verse 3, as he has said. So there's a faith element to go from fear to rest. Verse 4. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Without getting too much into the mechanics of it, basically what he's saying is that God did work, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, and the seventh day he entered a rest. He entered a rest. That's what it says right there. He entered a rest. Our goal is to enter that rest as well. So the same place he entered, our goal is to enter that. Okay? So far so good? Verse 7. Or 6. Since therefore it remained that someone must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He says, enter that rest, and there's a certain day where there has to be faith to enter that rest. When is that day? When is the day? Who? Not the Sabbath. Someone say Sabbath. Second coming? What's that day? What does it say? It says it two times. He's saying David said today. Okay? He didn't say tomorrow. He said today. And what he's saying is David... Okay, so like in a minute, he talks about Joshua and the people who enter the promised land. David lived before or after them? After. After. Much after. After Joshua. So they entered, but then David says, today is the day you enter. David in the Psalms said today. So they entered in whatever year, and then David says, thousands of years later, today is the day that you enter. Why? Because our judgment day, the second coming of Christ, is today. It's today. It's every single day is your judgment day. Today is your judgment day. Forget about 1 year to live. It's 1 day to live. There's no such thing as 1 year to live. It's 1 day to live. And it's 1 day to live 365 times in a row for a year. But it's not 1 year to live. Actually, you know, I think about it, if I say to myself, I'm going to die on December 31st, 2009, that's a very dangerous way to live life. A goal is not to be ready by December 31st. A goal is to be ready today. Is that harder or easier? I don't know. It's a mix between very hard and very easy. Because sometimes we make it like December 31st. Gotta do this, gotta do this, gotta do this, gotta do this, gotta do this. And we make this long laundry list. Okay? And our goal is to get to a place on verse 4 where it said, God rested from all his works. So we get to a place where we can rest a little bit. Okay? We'll keep that in mind as we see. Are you guys with me so far? Fear, rest, faith, which we'll see in a little bit what faith has to do with anything. But when? Today. Verse 8 through 10. Verse 9 is the one I want to stress on. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. God is promising. There's a rest. Today is the day that we get it. Okay, that was setting it up. Now verse 11, he tells us how. We talked about when, now is how. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Again, he's saying, take it seriously, okay, so you don't fall. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. What he's saying, okay, these three verses, uplifting or delifting? Uplifting or delifting? These three verses. What do you guys think? Up? You have no Bible in front of you. Okay, very good. So if you have no Bible in front of you, these are very uplifting verses. If you have a Bible and you actually saw what the verses said, you would see that these are delifting, okay, to the nth degree. What does it say? Again, in verse 11, be diligent to enter, lest anyone fall short according to the same example. Be careful, because many people will fall short. Who fell short in the wilderness? The people of Israel. What was Israel's name in the Old Testament? Like, what was one of the names that God gave them? Like, several. God's chosen people. Think about that for a second. God's chosen people ended up where? They fell short. The chosen, I'm planning a place of rest. I choose these guys, and I'm going to give you special attention and spend you special messages and do special stuff for you guys. And these guys didn't make it. Do we take it serious or not serious? Take it serious. If the chosen, if the promised people didn't make it, it's serious. Where did the promised people end up? They died in the wilderness. Where are we living today? Walking in the wilderness. This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. In verse 12, it says, how serious? Word of God is living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Saying, basically, okay, when God says something, every jot, every tittle is true. If God says, be careful, be diligent, and you blow it off, when you blow off the word of God, you blow off God himself. If you ignore my email, you ignore me. Don't ignore my email. If you ignore the written word of God, you ignore God Almighty himself. Serious, not serious. Serious. And then the most serious, the most uplifting verse in the Bible. There is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. What does the word of God say? The word of God which every jot and every tittle. And the word of God which must be fulfilled in heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words by no means pass away. What does the word of God say? It says that God sees, watch this, every sin. Hopefully only, like, get it, every sin only. He sees every thing I see, every thought I think, every word, every attitude. He sees everything. Everything. Everything is naked and bare before his eyes, and I must give account of everything. Uplifting, not uplifting. Happy, not happy. Hate my guts, don't hate my guts. This is a tough message, right? What did I say in the beginning? That my goal is not to end with fear. Okay? We ended verse 13. Tough, scared, want to cry. Everyone's very sad. Then watch in verse 14. God, on a dime. Maybe that expression, like in an instant, okay? Switches directions. Complete 180. Watch what he says now. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You can't appreciate these three verses unless you had the scary of the verses before. St. Paul says, after all that, after you should be terrified more than anyone should be terrified, that God sees sins that you don't even know you do. God sees things that you don't even know you do. In your sleep, you sin, God sees it, you'll give account of it. You didn't even know you did it. You give account of everything. After that, on a dime, he shifts gears and says, therefore, let us hold fast our confession. Pause 1 second. What is our confession? If someone can figure this out, they'd be very smart. Don't think about it. Figure it out. What's what I will say is, don't think about it. Don't think. Just figure it out. Okay? That's true, and that's true, but that's not what he's referring to here. What is he referring to? I'll give you a big hand. What is he referring to here? What is he referring to? Referencing to cross reference. No. You all have Bibles with cross references. You have to have a Bible with cross references. If you don't have a Bible with cross references, you're not going to understand the Bible. If you have a Bible with cross references, it may hopefully point to Hebrews chapter 10. Does it? Hebrews chapter 10. Open Hebrews chapter 10. Because the Bible is not written in verses. Like, it's not written in verses. It's written as like, if I'm, again, to an email. If I'm sending an email, I may say something in the third paragraph that was explained in the second paragraph. But I, you know what I'm saying? Like, you may say he, she, but you gave the name earlier. So, you have to see the whole thing in context. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Read this one. Watch this one. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way through which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with a pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. What is our confession? One sentence. What is our confession? Who? Hope is not a sentence. No. No, hope is... No. What is our confession? Sentences with verbs. Yes, Leah. Okay, you're right, but give it to me in biblical language based on those words. Give it to me what he said is our confession. Say it in a sentence of me. I, you said it. Can and will, but let's stick with can for now, can enter the holiest. I can enter the holiest. I can enter the holiest. I who has all the sins, this is our confession. Look, brethren, that we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have boldness, I have boldness that I can enter the holiest. What's the holiest? Where God is. Rest. That's the rest, right? I can enter the holiest. Yes, I'm a sinner, and yes, I'm all this kind of stuff, but St. Paul says, hold fast our confession. And never ever let go of it. Because there will be many things that will try to tempt you, or try to scare you, or try to whatever you into letting go of this confession. But you can never ever let go. That the holiest is a place that I boldly can walk into. Not timidly, boldly. How? How can I say that after all the sins that I said? How? He lists four things. Four things. Verse 19. By. Four things. What are four things? Blood in verse 19. Verse 20. His flesh. Verse 22. Pure water is number four. Number three, before pure water. Well, faith is how we hold it with faith, but what is the physical means? The heart sprinkled. Not a pure heart, but a heart sprinkled. Four things. What are they? Blood. Flesh. Heart sprinkled. Pure water. What are they? Blood. Again, until everyone says it. One, blood. What do you think blood is? Blood and flesh. That's an easy one. What do you think heart sprinkled is? Repentance, confession. What do you think pure water is? Baptism. And that's why he mentioned it in the house of God. So the sacraments are the key here, but I don't want to get into all that right now. Here's my point. Here's my point. Is that I can enter the holiest. Yes, God will give account. I have to give account of everything. And yes, all these things that I said. But the holiest is a place that I can enter. I can enter with boldness. I don't need to be scared. I don't need to be timid. I just need to use my resources. I need to use the blood, take advantage of the flesh, make sure the heart is sprinkled, and make sure that I wash in that pure water. And if I take advantage of these things, I walk like maybe when we're scared, we walk like this. But when we have boldness. No, don't we say that every liturgy? That we may dare with boldness without fear to pray to you? Dare with boldness without fear to pray to you? Okay? What St. Paul is saying here, people, is this is our confession. And in verse 23, he said, "Let us hold fast this confession without wavering. Because he who promised is faithful." And if we use his body, his blood, the heart sprinkled, the pure water, if we use those, then we have boldness that we can enter and no one can stop us. Many things will tempt you to let go of this confession. Many things will tempt you to not hold on to this confession. That's why, remember in the beginning, what did I say? The key was from rest, or from fear to rest. What was the key? Faith. Faith in what? Faith in not in myself, but faith in the Word of God, that His Word is true, and faith not in the Word of God, the Word, but the Word of God, the Logos, who gave the blood, who gave the flesh, who sprinkles the heart, and who purifies the body with the pure water. Go back to chapter 4 now. He stressed on seeing we have a high priest who passed through the heavens. Why do you think he says who has a high priest who passed through the heavens? Job of the priest was what? Job of the priest was what? The high priest. To intercede and to bring the people. Okay, the people were far from God. He would offer sacrifice. People could come to God. Okay? So this priest, this great high priest, passed through the heavens. Why do you think he says that? Huh? Okay. Why he's saying, have boldness, hold fast the confession. You have a high priest who passed through the heavens already. He knows the way. He's passed through the heavens. He passed through the heavens on his way just to swing by. Like, he can swing by the heavens quickly. He's passed through the heavens. He's entered the rest. He knows the way. And now he's here to take us. Like a guide should been where he's going. Like, if I want to say, follow me to a certain place, I should have been there first. You follow me. We have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens. And he is coming to take us into that same rest. We don't have to fear. We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Yes, he sees every action, he sees every thought, and he sees every sin, but he sees it not in condemnation, but in sympathy and compassion. And remember how he said, everything he sees, he doesn't see it like we see it. Me and you see it to judge, and me and you see it to point. He sees it to fix. He sees it to help. And he sees it to wash. And that's how he sees everything. It's a big difference. So I'm not saying verse 13 is true. He sees everything. But the way he sees it is not how we think he sees it. And then verse 16. Okay, I know many times I come and say, this is my favorite verse in the Bible. This is my new favorite verse in the Bible. Okay? Because this is it. If we have this, that's it. Just throw me out on the street, let me die in peace if I have this verse. Just leave me alone, I have this. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly, not timidly, boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And while obtaining mercy, that we may find grace to help in time of need. These things. Scary, hell, yes. We have a throne of grace that we should approach boldly. The two practical things. Okay? Two practical. Hopefully baptism, everyone can say check mark of baptism. Okay? Communion. Repentance. Communion and repentance in the grand scale. All the knowledge, all the wisdom on this earth about what communion is and what the mystery of confession and repentance is. When we get up to heaven, I think God will say the person who understood it the most, put all the knowledge together, will be 1% of what really takes place on this altar and what really takes place in here when there's repentance and confession. We don't understand it at all. At all. We don't take advantage of it at all. Not 1% do we take advantage. And I don't know, I mean, I don't want to do this and do this diligently and do this faithfully and do this with understanding and understand that of which we partake. Do this boldly. And then do this, the sprinkling, same thing I just said, understandingly, faithfully, diligently, and then you walk boldly into the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We don't have to walk around. This is not going to be a year of fear. Okay? It's not going to be a year of fear. Maybe what you just need is some time, like I said, to deflate. And maybe God is giving you, a lot of people may have Monday off. Maybe you got Tuesday off as well. Maybe it's a good time to deflate. Sit with the high priest. Okay, the great high priest. And let him get a make practical the stuff that we talk about. But it's not a year of fear. It's a year we come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. To obtain mercy and find grace in time of help. Okay? So that was like 4 minutes, so if anyone, we have a minute left, if anyone has anything they'd like to add. If anyone got any other revelations from this passage they can share with us, bless us and benefit us.
Okay, Taib. Let's pray, right? Let's pray. Okay. Because Abuna said that you have 1 day to live only, not 1 year. We're going to have something really special this Saturday night that we've never done before. We've done all night prayers before, but usually we do it like Friday night going to Saturday. And usually Friday you're tired and you come after work and all of this. And, you know, all night to Saturday. This time actually is different, and the group is different. We're going to have it only for servants, like for you only. And it's not going to be Friday night, it's going to be Saturday night. Well, you're very well rested on Saturday as usual. You know that Saturday sometimes is a hectic day. But as you know, that Sunday we have a short schedule at church, because Epiphany is Sunday night. So Sunday morning we have only one liturgy, 9 to 11 or something, and there is no Sunday school. So basically you're off. So can we just let you go off for nothing? So we're going to make you work hard for that. So all night prayer is going to start on Saturday night at 10, and it's going to end up with a liturgy anytime between 2 and 3 a.m., 2 to 4, 3 to 5, something like this. It's going to be only for you, for servants. Going to have some Arabic, English, Coptic, you know, mix of everything. And I believe it's because only for servants. And the reason why we limit it for servants is, you know, sometimes we come here, we spend time and everything, but it's not enough. Sometimes we need to spend really quality time on the presence of God. So we believe that this is something going to be great, so don't miss out on that. You know, last time we did a all-night prayer was really, 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 really powerful. So let's get a boost. And of course, it's very relevant with the event, because we're, you know, getting ready for Epiphany. And Epiphany is really important feast. You know, Christmas, circumcision, and Epiphany, and all these feasts used to be celebrated in one feast. Is actually called Epiphany. Long time ago, it wasn't Christmas, it was Epiphany. It was the declaration of God, you know, to his people. So, because it's for you, you know, nobody can hide behind, you know, it's not going to be hundreds of people, it's going to be you. If you're here, you know, it's going to be clear. If you're not, then we're going to miss you, of course. So we pray in one spirit as servants. Okay? So I'm expecting everyone. If you can't come for any reason, you know, write a complaint or something, or, you know, submit a request of absence, anything like this. Okay, but I really hope that all of us will be there. Good? Very good. So let's conclude with a prayer and then split into your groups. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, because you prepared a rest for us. And you're taking us, Lord, this rest. And the beauty, Lord, it's only through you. And through trusting you and trusting what you can do in our lives, Lord, we can get into that rest. We can't make rest for ourselves, Lord. But we can only get it through you, Lord. Thank you for preparing for us, Lord, a strong and mighty table for rest. Thank you for washing us, Lord, for rest. Lord, give us really to see all these things as a mean of grace rather than a burden over us. Give us to see spending an overnight prayer is really a pleasure, Lord, to spend this time with you. It's an uplifting thing, Lord, and we know that you're going to be present and you're going to do amazing things as always. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Lord. We ask that you hear our prayers through the intercession of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, and all your saints. We pray thankfully, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those trespassing against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, find the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. Go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.